Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Philippians 1, 15 to 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. My theme for reflection is a joy that refuses to be ruled by rivalry. A joy that refuses to be ruled by rivalry. Someone recently remarked that even in church, if two people are asked to carry the same table, one will quietly wonder who will be thanked first. It is light-hearted, but it reveals something true about the human heart. We long to be seen, appreciated, and sometimes even preferred. It is into this very human tension that Paul writes in Philippians 1, 15 to 21. From a Roman prison around 62 AD, he reflects on a painful reality. Some are preaching Christ out of love, but others out of envy, rivalry, and selfish ambition, hoping to intensify his suffering. In a moment where he could defend himself or expose their motives, Paul does something unexpected. He steps back from himself and looks at Christ. What does it matter? He says. The important thing is that Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Paul is not careless about the truth. In Galatians 1, 6 to 10, he strongly rebukes false gospels. But here he discerns that although motives are flawed, the message remains sound. And so he chooses a deeper priority, the gospel over ego and Christ over self. This speaks with striking clarity into our own time, where competition, comparison and quiet rivalries often find their way even into the life of faith. Lent, however, refuses to let us remain comfortable with such hidden currents of the heart. It gently but firmly asks not only, what are you doing, but also, what is driving you? In this sacred season, we are invited to release our subtle hunger for recognition and to rediscover the deeper freedom of living for Christ alone, where our worth is no longer measured by applause, but by faithfulness. Augustine of Hippo captures this inner reordering when he writes, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." What Augustine describes as restlessness is often the very thing that fuels rivalry and comparison, the endless search for affirmation in places that cannot satisfy. Paul, by contrast, has found his rest. His life is no longer divided between self-interest and divine calling. It is gathered into one center, Christ. This is why his remarkable confession follows so naturally. For me, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is not the language of resignation, but of liberation. To live is Christ means that every ambition, every wound, every success, and every disappointment is reinterpreted through him. Christ becomes the measure, the meaning, and the motivation of life. And to die is gain means that even the ultimate loss, death itself, cannot threaten such a life. When Christ is everything, nothing else can take everything away. There is a quiet but powerful challenge here for us. Much of our frustration in life comes from trying to preserve things that were never meant to be ultimate. Our reputation, our influence, and our recognition. But Paul shows us another way. When Christ becomes central, these things lose their power to disturb us. We are no longer easily shaken because our lives are anchored in something deeper. Consider a simple story. A young pastor worked tirelessly in his community, pouring himself into preaching, visiting, and mentoring. Over time, another colleague began to attract more attention, larger crowds, more invitations, and greater visibility. At first, the pastor felt the sting of comparison. He questioned his worth, his calling, even his place. But during a quiet retreat, he found himself returning again and again to Paul's words, for to me to live is Christ. Slowly, something shifted. He realized that his calling was not to be seen, but to be faithful. Months later, when asked about the growth of the other ministry, he smiled and said, "If Christ is being made known, then I have not lost anything." In that moment, he discovered a deeper joy, not in being recognized, but in being rooted. And perhaps that is the quiet victory Lent seeks to work within us. A heart so centered on Christ that it is no longer threatened by comparison, no longer wounded by rivalry, and no longer dependent on recognition, but simply content to live, and if need be, to die in him. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where have rivalry, comparison, or the desire for recognition taken root in your heart? Number two, what would it mean for you in a practical sense to say today, "For me to live is Christ"? And now our practical exercise for the day. Intentionally affirm or support someone who may be doing similar work to you without comparing or competing, simply rejoicing that Christ is at work. Lord Jesus, you who humbled yourself and sought not your own glory, cleanse our hearts of rivalry and pride. Teach us to rejoice whenever your name is lifted, even when we are not. In this Lenten season, refine our motives, deepen our love, and center our lives on you alone. May we learn to live not for recognition, but for Christ, in whose name we find our true joy. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.